We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are your word. And you became the living word as you walked among us. We thank you for the truth, Lord, that's in you, that's eternal. We thank you for the love, for the grace, for your goodness, for your justice, for your judgment that's met out in grace and mercy. We thank you, oh God, for the work you're doing now in our hearts and the lives of people on this earth. This is the day of visitation. These are the latter days. This is the time you're pouring out, Lord, your spirit as a latter rain. And we pray, Lord, that this fire is not only going to go into these kids' heart, but, Lord, that these kids are going to come home and get it into our hearts as parents and into this church. We thank you. I thank you, Lord, for people in this church and their giving heart and spirit, how they continually, Lord, open their hearts to you. Now, we thank you today for this time. We lift you up as we lift your word up. Anoint our ears to receive it. Anoint me as your vessel as you bring this word right where we live to bring victory and freedom, Lord, to bring fullness and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're making a checkout, would you make it payable to Countryside Christian Center? And if you want to put ATF at the bottom, Acquire the Fire, just write that on the bottom, please. But everything in this offering is going to go toward Acquire the Fire and toward the kids. This is the fourth and last message on the first series. There'll be many series in Journey to Victorious Living. This first series was called The Will of God. I shared with you part one, Know God and Know His Will. That if we're going to know God's will, we have to know Him. Now, I'm not talking about just being born again. I'm talking about a real love relationship, to know Him well. If you want to know God's heart, if you want to know God's mind, we have to come to know Him. And the more you know Him, the more you're going to know His love, the more you're going to trust Him. It says faith works by love. So the more I know God, the more I'm willing to trust Him and yield and open to the plan that He has. That's got to be the first step. You know, you're never going to know God's will until you surrender your life to Him and come to really know Him. And the greatest obstacle to finding the will of God is surrender and obedience to Him. When I first came to Christ at 24, and I did the best I could to surrender everything I knew in my life and gave it to Him. And then the Lord continued just to deal with me on other things, to give it all. And I found out that you can't really be led and directed until you surrender and you got a blank page for God to write on, you know, to do those things. So surrender and obedience, it really is the only way that you're going to know God's will. I mean, how could we ever know God's will and victory if we don't yield control to Him? It says in Proverbs 20, verse 24, man's goings are the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? How can we say, I know the way, I'm going to do this thing, I got the plan, I've known all along, when God's got the plan? And until you come to know Him and then yield to it and trust to Him. And then I shared about knowing God's will now. How, you know, we're going to have patience with the Lord. You know, you didn't get into the mess you're in, you know, in a day. I mean, it took you a while. You've been working to get into that mess quite a while, working real hard at it. And God can't maybe get you out in a day. And to know the will of God, you know, give God a little time to work. And as you wait on the Lord, there's things that are going to be happening in your life that you can't pass up that process. And also to get ahead of God and get out of His will, well, we know that's a real disaster. Not only, you know, are we going to, it's going to slow down the process, or maybe we completely miss the will of God in our lives, but also by not being patient and waiting, it can bring a lot of heartache and a lot of problems to you and to other people around you. So you need to let go of everything. You know, if you will to know the will of God, if you will to know the will of God, you will. If you will to know the will of God, say it with me. If you will to know the will of God, you will. If you really will to know it. I mean business. I want to know your will. Nothing's going to deter me. I want to know your will. Then you will. But it's going to take surrender. You are going to have to let go of everything, every plan, every desire of your security, I mean, everything. I'll do anything. I'll give anything. I'll change anything. I'll go anywhere, whatever you want. How can God direct you, you know, when you're saying, oh, I'll give you this, but now I'm hanging on to that. I won't do that. I won't give that. I won't go there. I'm not going to change that. So we have to give it all to God. I want your will more than anything. And I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do to bring me to that place. It says not to be unwise in understanding what the will of God is. So the Lord wants us to know His will. God wants us to have that kind of wisdom. He wants us to hear His voice. He wants you to know it more than you want to receive it even. Today, I want to share the fourth part of this message and the last of this, then we'll go on with the journey and other things that God has for us. But the part four is called, But How Does God Communicate His Will? That's what I'm going to talk about today. But the real practical. And I want you to take notes. I want you to write these down. And, you know, we've got some cards there that you can look. It says Countryside Christian Center Notes, if you want to write on that. Or if you brought a notebook, or, you know, borrow a piece of paper from somebody else, or, you know, if you got a Bible and you got some pages that are blank in the back, you write on them like I do, it's okay, you can do that. God doesn't get mad. But I want you to take some notes on what I'm going to say today. Now, I got done, you know, on time in the first service, so before I tell you this, don't get discouraged, because today I'm going to show you 14 ways to know God's will. 14 ways. Now, in the early service, I did 7 of those. Now, in this one, you know, we can go to about 2 o'clock and we can get all these in, all right? But I want you to take notes and we'll get done. Number one, talking about how to know God's will. Number one is God's written word. Above everything else, He gives us this, that we can know His will. It's all in here. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Means set them free, set them apart through truth. It's truth that sets us free. And it goes on in the same place Jesus says, thy word is truth. He's talking to the Father. Thy word is truth. This is truth. When I found Jesus, I knew this book was truth. I just immediately put my trust in this. So I put my trust in the living God. I was in the hospital when I experienced Christ. And the next week, I read the whole New Testament through. I read it at one time. I just couldn't get enough of it. Hungry for it. I knew it was truth. And that God wants you to know, that's the answer for you. It's a compass. The Bible is a guide. It's a roadmap. It's a plumb line that keeps it straight. It's a ruler. You can measure everything by that. It says in Psalm 119, 105, it's a lamp. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So it's true. It's a light. It's a lamp to you. Number one, the first thing is God directs us by His word. He honors His word above His own name. You'll find God's will, and that He will never contradict His word. There'll never be a contradiction in your life and what He asks you to do that will ever contradict His word. That God will never cause you to compromise your word, ask you to do something that will ever compromise His word. It always will line up with His word. You can know that. So whatever God's word says, if it says it, do it. It's truth, it's light, but you've got to believe it. Put your trust in it. If it's truth, then obey it. Do it. It's not going to be one thing for you, one thing for somebody else. If God's word says it, then that's God's no respecter of persons. It says not to be unequally yoked with a non-believer. But you don't understand, Pastor. I really love this guy. He's just got such a good heart. And I just love him. I don't know what I'd ever do without him. You know, but does he really know Jesus from what you've been saying? He doesn't know the Lord. Yeah, but, you know, maybe it'll happen later. I'm just trusting God. You know, later on it's going to happen. Hey, I've seen that happen too. It's too often. Somebody comes in, you know, courts somebody and comes to church for a while to get them right out of God's kingdom, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. And then they later on, I should have listened. Why did I ever do that? God's word is God's word. It's the same for everyone. If he says it, that's what he means. Can you say amen to that? And maybe it's not even an unbeliever to be unequally yoked. Sometimes it can be with a new Christian who's so immature. Your lives right now are not ready to come together. You know, God has the right person for you. Do you believe that? He wants you to have the right person. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be full. He's not trying to keep something from you. He's trying to get something to you. And that's why it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, and workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't know the book, then you're not going to understand God's will for your life. You're going to miss what it says. I didn't know God's word said that. I didn't know it said to do that. I didn't know it said not to do that. I didn't know that's what the Lord wants for me. Find out what it says. You got the manual. You know, let's not read it last. Let's, you know, when it breaks down, let's read it first so it won't break down. I'm talking about your life. Right? So God wants us to get in the Word, find out what it's saying. Listen to this in Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world. Don't do it the way you did it before in the world. Don't do it that way. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Renew your mind. It says in Ephesians, renew the spirit of your mind. Get the word of God in here. You know, how can you know the will of God until you know what he has for you and what his word says? Read the instructions. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. That's, you lean to the word of God. You lean to the word, what God has to say about it. Find out what the Lord wants to do. Find out what his word says. Find out what the instructions say for you. And then it says, lean not into your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him. That's surrender. And then he shall direct thy paths. So the first rule in knowing the word of God is the word of God. It's the word of God. It's truth. It's light. He's going to give direction and instruction to you. The second way to know the will of God, it's for God's glory. Whatever you do, he says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. This has to do with your motives. God wants you to know, why are you doing that? What's your motive in doing that? You know, if it's doing it for yourself and it's for your own pleasure, you know, you're going to have trouble staying in the will of God. But if we do it for him, does it bring glory to God? Does it bring pleasure to God? It says in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Whatever you do. Think of that. Whatever you do, it says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You know, if everything we did, we'd do it heartily unto the Lord, it would change a lot of what we do. Lord, I'm going to watch this movie now. I'm going to do this unto you to give you glory. Yes, do this heartily unto you in your name. It's not talking about his name coming off the screen back at you, you know. How many, can you just think of how you might be apply that in your life? Lord, I'm going to enter into this business deal in your name. I'm going to do this for your glory. I'm going to fill out my income taxes for your glory in your name right now. Everything I do, I'm going to do in your name as your representative. The way I deal with this person is the way you would do it. I'm going to do it for your glory. I'm going to do it in your name, with grace, with kindness, with goodness, with mercy, with truth. Oh, it was quiet in here in the first service right here, too. You know, that would change a lot of things in us. Can you think for a moment? You want to know God's will? Then do it for his glory. You know, we keep trying to get God into our stuff. We spend all this time praying, oh, God, do this and get this straightened out, and I need this, and you need to get in my camp by 6 o'clock tonight and do this and get into this, and God, I'm really going big here. You need to get in on this. Oh, God, I pray you bless this. God says, no. I want you to get in my will. I'm not getting into your thing. Why would I want to get in on that? It's already messed up your life. I want you to do my will. And so to do it for His glory. Everything we do in His name. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. You want strength? You want a foundation? He says, right after it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever you do, do it unto Him. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You're my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. For Your glory, for Your purpose, as a witness to You, lead me and guide me. Number three, talking about how to know the will of God. I'm giving you the real stuff here. I mean, this is how you're going to know. Number three, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? We've got an example. You know the will of God? What would Jesus not do? Might ask that question. What would Jesus do in this situation? I mean, He lived it for us. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That means to die to yourself. I'm doing this thing Jesus' way. What would you do, Lord? His example, His purpose, His love, His word, His truth, His grace. Number four, through His peace. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15. Write that down. 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. God is never going to lead you into something where you don't have God's peace in your heart. Ever. 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 The only way you're not going to have peace is if you're rebelling against God and you don't want to do it and you're real nervous about doing what God wants you to do. But when you surrender and say, okay, Lord, then that peace floods your heart. There's always a peace as you walk in God's will. Here in 1 John 3:20 it says, for if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. So when we start to go out of will of God, His heart condemns us. See, one of the ways that I know I'm in the will of God is I know what happens when I walk out of it. It's like a boat, you know. You know you got out of the flow of the river when you run into the bank. Same thing with God's will. You lost your peace. Everything's falling apart. You got no peace at all when you went out of the will of God. You know, you need to get back into the flow again. Find out what God wants you to do. What's happening in your life right now? You really think that's God's will? But you get some instructions from the Lord. You know, He'll start wherever you are. He'll get you back on course. Someone said, you know, when you're lost in the woods or in the mountains, you know how you find out where you're going? You know, you can wander around. You know, and some of the parks have been in huge parks out west with all the mountains and the forest. Man, you can get hopelessly lost in there. You know what you do? You know, you go up to the high place. And then you look, and then you can tell maybe where you are as you look down on everything, get perspective. Oh, I see over there the campsite. It's way off. I thought I was over there. It's over there. You lost? Then go up to a high place. Get hold of God. Find out what He wants you to do. You know, and He'll begin to show you the direction and the way to go. Quit wandering around lost in the middle of your stuff trying to figure out where you are. Why don't you go to God and find out? So, you know, if your heart condemns you, that's one of the ways you know. You know, you're out of line. You know, if your heart's condemning you, you can't do that. There's no peace. How can you do that when your heart's condemning you? Peace. Listen, Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through, or 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things Paul's writing, whatsoever things are true. You want God's will? Is it true? Whatsoever things are true. God's will? Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Hey, You know, the next time you fill out your income tax, why don't you read that? Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, any virtue in it. Next time you sell your car to somebody, you know, that one, you know, that got wrecked, you know, and he, oh, no, never been wrecked, man, and never had any trouble with it, never even had it in the mechanic. Look here. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, how about we do it unto the Lord? Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. So I'm talking about, you know, you can't do it without peace in your heart. That's God's guide to you. Number five. Does it edify? Does it build up? 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, let all things be done unto edification. Does it build up? Is it going to build you up? Is it going to build your family up? Is it going to build other people up? Is it going to tear you down? Is it going to bring you down? Is it going to bring your family down? Is it going to bring you closer to the Lord? Is it going to take you further away from the Lord? But pastor, you don't understand. I got this job. I get this great opportunity. I can work at the flea market, you know, on Sundays, and I'm going to make so much money, and I'm going to give it all to the building fund, you know. Now, whoa, 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 whoa. It's amazing what we do to justify what we want to do. First of all, don't lie to God, you know, when you make that money later when you work there, and, you know, that wasn't really why you wanted the job at all. And second of all, you know, it says that you need to be in fellowship. God's word says we need to come together and be in fellowship. So, you know, don't say, well, I'm not going to be in church for a while, but I'm doing it for this, and I want God to follow me out of church, you know, for a while. You know, it says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Is that right? So, you know, follow the word of God. Does it edify? Is it going to build you up? Is it going to draw you away? So being out of the church for that 3 months that turns into 5 months to 6 months to 6 years, you know, is it going to build you up? Is it going to pull you away? Hey, don't tell me that didn't happen. I know it happens. I can tell you lots and lots of horror stories about that stuff. How people begin to rationalize why they shouldn't be in church and get out there doing their thing. I mean, that's the last you see them, and it's also the last that their family was. Does it edify? Does it build up? Now, those five things are absolutes. They're absolutes. Those things never change. God's will is always going to be by His Word. There's never going to be an exception. Anything you do in the will of God, it's always going to glorify God. Anything you do, it's always going to line up what Jesus would do. It's not going to come against Jesus and His life. There's always going to be peace in your heart as you move in the will of God. Every time. Now, you might be nervous about something because, you know, you don't want to do it, you know. So I don't have peace about this. Then wait. You just wait on God. It's because you're not surrendering. You're not trusting God. You got all this fear about doing it. But when you really surrender and trust God, there's going to be that perfect peace that comes on your heart and mind when you move in the will of God. And that it's going to edify. It's going to build you up. Now I want to move into some things that these are guidelines, but it may not be an absolute. Here's number six. Where you know God's will through godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14. Says, where no counsel is, people fall. But in multitude of counselors, there's safety. So I want to find out what other people think before I do this thing. I want people that are wise. I want people that are godly. And not anybody. Not your Aunt Matilda that worships, you know, trees. I mean, you know, you got to get people that are, where there's godly counsel. People that are proven. People that know, not just anybody out there in your family. You're always going to get somebody to agree with you if you want agreement. There's always some nutcase out there. Oh, that sounds like a good idea to me, you know. I'm talking about godly counsel. You know, everything, we're going to seek others. I have pastors that I turn to, leaders outside of the church. I call, I want advice, I want their counsel. Can't do this thing myself. People that are down the road further, how'd you deal with this? What? Here's what I'm up against. Will you pray with me about it? Do you have any words of advice to me? Share it with the pastors on staff. You need to go in my office. It doesn't have a head at the table. It's a round table. I want to hear. We share things with one another. We pray about it. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? That's why we have a board. It's open. Our board meetings are awesome. Some churches, it's like Civil War board meeting, you know. Not our board meetings. These are godly men. They come prayed up. They want to know the will of God. They pray. They have open hearts as we come to discuss. We're strengthened by it. So, you know, but I want to say this. Only God knows His will for your life. Only God. And sometimes someone might have really, you know, best intentions, but they might give you advice that's really not what God's wanting you to do there. That's what happened to Apostle Paul. If you remember when he said, I'm going to go to Rome, I'm going to be bound there. And they said, no, we can't let this happen to you. No. The whole church cried, no, Paul, you can't do it. He said, you're breaking my heart. I already knew this. God spoke into me. Every place I go, I know I'm going to do this. Even the prophet Agabus then said, this man that has his belt's going to be bound. He's going to go to Rome. So there's goodly people sometimes. You know, Peter said, you're not going to the cross, Jesus. He said, get behind me, Satan. So we seek godly counsel, but still it's the Lord who has the last word. That's what I'm saying. I'm not disrespecting people with authority. But be careful. Number 7, agreement of a husband and wife. You want to know God's will? A husband and wife are going to have agreement. You're one. You become one flesh. So his husband's supposed to love his wife as himself. That means, you know, you're one. For this cause, a man leaves his father and mother to be joined together to his wife to become one flesh. One heart, one mind. You're going to get in real trouble in your marriage if, you know, one person's doing decisions and never in agreement with the other one, you know, and just doesn't even stop to come in agreement. If you're not in agreement, you better just stop and wait. Seek God together and see what He's saying. You hear what I said? Don't go out and be buying things without talking to your wife or buying things without talking to your husband. Come into agreement, unless you got an agreement ahead of time. You know, this is money, you use this amount for you, you know, whatever. This is, you know, but I mean, don't be trying to do things, you know, manipulate and, you know. I know he wouldn't like that, so yeah, I don't know. Are those new shoes? Oh, no. Yeah, the only reason you can say that is they're brand new, but you kept them in the closet for 3 weeks. So you can say, no, they're just old shoes. I know those tricks, you know. Now, no reflection on my wife. Matter of fact, it's men who have the trouble going out of God's will buying stuff. Your wife's bought shoes, man. You bought a new boat and a trailer and a motorcycle, man. And you bought new golf, you know, bags and you know, all this stuff. You know, I mean, it's the big ticket items, you know. Come on with a new car. I cannot believe, dear, you bought that new car when you knew that. Well, it just looks so good there, you know. It's all right. You know, work it out, you know. How about talking about it? How about praying about it? How about coming into agreement? Hello. If you don't have agreement, wait. Just wait on it. Wait on it. If it really comes down to it, and it's been a long time, you've been praying and your hearts are really open, you know, you've laid down all the personal stuff with this thing, and you still can't, you're not in agreement, then ladies, you need to yield to your husband. He's the head of the house. I'm talking about real godliness here, seeking God. Number 8. How do we know God's will? Through circumstances, through divine providence. Open doors, closed doors, God's provision, a chance meeting, you know, a connection that happened. I mean, just those things that just kind of, wow, I can't believe we just talked about that last night and this happened today. What are you telling me, God? But even then, be careful. You know, you can't be led by circumstances. We even sing that song. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, oh, the Word is working mightily in me. You can't be led just by circumstances or by situations or feelings. But by the Word of God. So you need to be careful. I know it happens sometimes. You know, you're praying about going on a missions trip, and we don't know whether we should go or not. And then, you know, a day later, your boss comes in and says, you know, I heard you talking about the missions trip. You know, I'd just like to finance that for you. Well, that might be a sign. That's what I'm talking about. Through circumstances or through divine providence. Number 9, how do we know the will of God? Through a word from God. I'm not talking about the written word. It could be a rhema word from Scripture. You know, have you ever read Scripture and you're seeking God and all of a sudden you're going, wow. And like it just pops off the page and God speaks to your heart and you say, thank you, Jesus, that's what I've been looking for. And the Holy Spirit just gives you that rhema living word and you know that you know that you know that you heard from God. You ever had that happen? It could be in an audible voice. I've never heard God's audible voice. I know probably people in this room have. I never have. I know Dr. Pano did. Dr. Pano talked about the experience my pastor had when he was praying in the north end of Fort Wayne and God spoke to him and he said, I thought everybody in Fort Wayne heard it. It was so loud. I never had that happen. But I know it does. God speaks like that. Usually it's small, still voice. It's that small, still voice. So I've never heard the small, still voice of God. I can probably tell you why not. Because you're so busy talking that you never get quiet to listen. God, give me this. Give me this. I need this. I need you to do this. I need you to take care of this for me. And how about just being quiet and seeing what the Lord has to say. You know, before you go to bed at night, it's good just to get quiet. Lord, speak to me. Speak to my heart. Or a word from God may be an impression that he puts upon you. Yeah, I hear this. God told me this. God said this. God spoke. He said, do this. I've had people come off and said, Pastor, I came in to get your advice. Here's what God told me. I'd say, you got the word. What am I supposed to say? If God told you, what are you asking me for? I think I'm going to add anything to it or take away from it. God spoke to you? But you know what we really mean? I had this impression. It bothers me when people talk about God talking to them all the time. God said this to me. God said this to me. God spoke this to me. God is not a blabbermouth. He's not running off the mouth the way we do. Man, he speaks, you know, just every once in a while when he says, man, it's a heavy word. He's not giving you a word every day for your life. Because it takes us more time to process that and obey it. But we'd be better off to say, you know, I felt impressed of the Lord. And any godly impression, if it's really God, is going to get stronger in time, not weaker. It'll get stronger. If you yield your heart and open up to it, it's going to get stronger and stronger in your life. How do we know the will of God? I want to say this. Don't misinterpret even what you think is a rhema word. Because you can convince yourself that's what God wants from me right there. And you can convince yourself. And it wasn't what the Lord was saying. What he was saying, wait, not go forward. But when you saw that, you said, because that's what you wanted to do. So be careful. Or when you feel a godly impression, you know, you just weigh it out. And I want to say this. You know, God usually will not give you a word or speak to you where it is clear in the book already. Why should he? It's right here. Unless God is trying to confirm it. You know, God is God. How do we know the will of God? It can happen supernaturally. It can happen through dreams or visions. A dream is something you dream at night. A vision is something you see in the daytime when you're awake. God can give his will to you through a prophecy or through a word of wisdom that someone gives to you or a word of knowledge that they give to you. But again, I want to say, you need to be careful. Because it only is going to confirm. It's not going to tell you stuff that you don't know anything about. It's going to confirm what you already know in your heart when that prophecy comes or when that dream comes or vision comes from God. You know, that God is confirming or God is showing you something. Everybody understand what I'm just said? Because all we're doing, going around getting a word from people because we're trying to take a shortcut. We don't want to go to God ourselves. Somebody else tell us what God said. You're going to get in a mess. Because that's the way God works. You know, you've got a personal relationship with God yourself. You don't need to go to anybody else. You can go right to the boss. You can go to the head. You can go to the throne, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God will speak to you directly what His will is. I don't need to go around to everybody else telling me what God's will is for my life. But God might confirm it through someone else. I've had that happen, but I already knew it in my heart. All right, so you just be careful again not to misinterpret. Here's number 11, how to know the will of God. Not to be pushed, you know, be led, not pushed. It's kind of like peace, but here's what I'm saying. Jesus is a shepherd. He leads you. He doesn't push you. Who pushes you? Satan. He's a cowboy. He herds from behind. He pushes. He pressures. You were driven. But Jesus is a shepherd. He takes His time. He waits. He goes, you know, at just the speed we need to go. It's not an impulsive kind of a decision. Anybody that says, you got to decide this thing today or you're going to miss this opportunity. It's never coming your way again. I say, goodbye. I already know my answer because God doesn't work like that. This is the devil's deal. This isn't God. That deal that's just too good to miss, right. This will never come again in your lifetime until, you know, tomorrow or next week or next month. It'll be back around again. You understand? If it's too good to be true, probably is. Don't be pressured. It's that impulsiveness we get out of the will of God. Don't you be pushed. You just wait. Anytime anybody starts to pressure me, I just back out. I know it's not God. I just come flat out and tell them. Say, I'm sorry, I don't business like that. I'm a Christian. I pray I'm going to seek God in everything that I do, so I can't even consider this. Kind of ruffles their feathers. That's okay. They need to have their feathers ruffled. Number 12. How do I know the will of God? If it's not too complicated. 1 Corinthians 14:33 said, God's not the author of confusion. If it gets really confusing, I just know it's not the Lord. God's ways are always simple. You know, we go through all this stuff. We try to manipulate. And, you know, if I can talk to them and they'll do this, and then I can get them to do that. And then when they do that, I'll get them to do this. And then we'll sign this over here. And then after we get that, then if we just all go together and make this happen, and then they'll come and they'll do this. And then we can convince them to do this. And then we sell that. And then, you know, maybe it'll work out, you know, if I see a dog cross the road on the way, you know. I mean, it's like we have all this stuff and it gets all complicated. You know, just forget it. Forget it. Had people come to me and they have all these schemes. It's just so, I'm just kind of going, oh, you know, it's not the way God does it. Simple. It's peaceable. It's not complicated. Back off. And when you just lay it down, you find out God will do it in a way that's so simple and it was right there in front of you. You never saw it. And you're going, man, look at this. It's peaceable. It's simple. The answer was right there. You hear me, church? Is this helping you? I'm telling you, these are. I'm talking about the real nitty gritty, how we live, how it works. All right. Here's the next thing. How do we know the will of God? By the desires of your heart. God says, "I'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in me. I'll give you the desires of your heart." Sometimes the Lord says, not always. Sometimes He'll say, "What do you want to do, God? What do you want me to do? What do you want to do?" You're my son. You're wise. You know the word. If you're not, you know, getting an answer one way or another, what do you want to do? Well, God, what do you want me to wear today? He says, whatever you want to wear. Where are you going? He said, what color should I wear? He says, I made them all. I like them all. wear any color you want to. You know? Where are you going? To church. Well, then you know you can't wear that. Thank you very much. That was a word from the sponsor, by the way, that got in. But sometimes the Lord, he wants, you know, what would you like to do? What do you want to do? Not in everything. Do you really think God cares one way or another what colors are inside this new building? As long as it's going to, you know, bring an atmosphere of worship and it's going to be, you know, comforting to us. I mean, we're not going to do, you know what I'm saying, you know, bright neon colors, you know, and everything. I mean, God, yeah, God cares about that. Number 14, through fasting and prayer, through prayer we're going to seek God. I saved it to last, not because it's least. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God and he'll give it liberally. So, Lord, I want to know your will. I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. I really need to know. I want to know. You know, I open up my heart. I yield. I surrender. I give it all to you. I'll do whatever you want. I'll go whatever you want. I'll give whatever you want. I'll change whatever you want. I just want to know your will, and I need your wisdom now. I'm open to anything you want to speak. And, Lord, you said, God, if I would ask you for wisdom, you'd give it to me liberally. You said not to be unwise in understanding your will. So, Lord, I'm asking now, give me wisdom. And you said you'd give it liberally. You don't know how many times I've prayed that prayer. And I know it's coming. I know God answers. I know God's word is true. I know God's going to give me liberal wisdom. I'm not going to do anything until I know. I'm not going to do anything. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious about it. Pray about it. You know, if there's any anxiety at all, just start praying and asking God, God, I let this request be made known unto you. And I do it with thanksgiving. Know, Lord, that you're going to answer and that you're going to bring your peace on my heart until you do. That's what it says. And let the peace of God guard, keep your heart as you pray. See, when we pray, that's what there's power when we pray for one another. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Other people praying for other people. You want to know the will of God? You know, I'm trying to make a decision. Will you pray with me? And we had 350 people plus in prayer meeting Saturday night. That'd be a good place to hang out. People that know how to pray, people would be glad to pray for you. When we join up our hands and they'd say, you know, I'm in a place now, I really need to make a decision. I just want to hear from God. Will you pray with me? We got people that will pray with you. And not just for that moment. They'll continue to pray with you. You can trust them. They're going to pray. See, things happen when we pray for one another, not just ourselves. There's power in agreement. Where two of us agree on not touching anything, the Lord will do it. The things begin to happen. It says, here's another, was praying for someone else. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Now, 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Anything I pray according to God's will, He's going to hear me. If it's not God's will, I don't want it anyway. How about you? He's not going to hear me. So we have confidence when we pray. Anything is the will of God, He's going to hear us, and we're going to get that response back to Him. Now hang on, my time's not done yet. Praise God, it's 25 after 12. Just relax a little bit and wait on the Lord. So fasting and prayer is really the most powerful weapon we have. David, when he fasted, he said he humbled himself with fasting and prayer. We humble ourselves before God. I need you. I don't have the answer. It says that he chastened himself with fasting and prayer, you know, deals with his flesh to just be humble. He said, in my weakness, Paul said, that his strength was made perfect. When I fast, I become weak before God. I need you. God just honors it. Well, every major decision in my life, I'm going to make it with fasting and prayer. Besides, you know, really getting in the Word and praying and seeking the Lord and just letting God speak to me. And it shows God. I mean business. I'm not talking fasting a day. I'm talking about fasting a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I mean business. I want your will. I want to know what you have. I can't afford to miss this. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to see a breakthrough as I fast and pray. I know you're going to respond to it. I mean business, God. I need you. And you watch. Sometimes during the fast, sometimes it's later. And there's the answer. God opens the door. He makes the way. It comes your way. Paul said, I was in fastings often. Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. I'm telling you how to know the will of God. You can take it or leave it. You can sit here and say, I don't care about this stuff. Well, I don't care. Quit running. You know, you can keep on running into stuff your whole life, you know, and messing up. Or maybe you want to hear the will of God. This is how you know the will of God in your life. This is God's word. This is what he says, how he says to find the will of God. This, I don't have a coin, praise the Lord. But I was going to say, this is not how you find the will of God. Okay, I'll do it, my oil thing. You know, oil up, you know, black end up here. Here it is. God's will. Yep, that's the way I'll go then, praise the Lord. That's not the way you figure out the will of God. It's through the Word. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God will lead you and direct you. It doesn't have to be a mystery. Now, I want to show you how this works. It's that lines up. God gives us all these things. You know, there's the first things I shared with you, they never change. The Word of God, for God's glory. What would Jesus do? We're directed by his peace. Does it edify? Those things never, never change. If you're going to be in God's will, those things are always going to be there. Every single time. Now, there's other things we talked about. You know, maybe so, but they're good guidelines. One is godly counsel. You know, number six we talked about. Find out, get people that are really godly. What would they give us? What advice would they give us? Number seven, agreement with a husband and wife. Number eight, circumstances and divine providence. Number nine, a word of God that he brings to us, whether it's an impression or a spoken word of God or a rhema word of God or you know, something within our heart. Supernatural intervention through dream or prophecy or vision or word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Number 11, I said, is to be led, not to be pushed or pressured. If it's not too complicated. Number 13 was the desires of your heart. Number 14 was through fasting and prayer.